This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
My favorite game to play is tarot cards before all hell breaks loose. And it's every woman for herself as we are talking. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Part 2, Episode 4, Dr. Cerberus, House of Horrors. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Let the buzz begin. The conspiracy book is out. We're pitting women against women, man against child. We're doing it all. And we are reading tarot cards. Where are the tarot cards, Brendan?
Ah, God, I'm not proficient enough in reading them yet. I don't think I can accurately do this without summoning a demon or something.
I should have brought mine and just read everyone's fortune. That's how it works.
That would be the entire after show?
It would have been
all. What about my palm? Can you read my palm?
Yeah. You're going to die. Let me see yours. Yeah. Well, you're gonna die too.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
I don't
eventually
want to show
gonna
my
die.
Palm. It's
eventually
like
gonna
same
die.
Survivor.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. We're gonna talk so much. So much did not happen in this episode, but we were gonna talk about all of it because it was a reminiscent of last season's episode, as Brendan pointed out.
The baddie bad episode.
Exactly. So now we get another dream sequence. A lot of dream sequencing happening.
It was very art house the way they did it.
It was still a very fun episode. We'll talk it all. We'll talk about the tarot cards itself. Miss McGarvey, everyone's reading because they broke them down individually. Sabrina, Theo, Rosalind, or Roz as they like to call her, but I really like the name Rosalind, Zelda, Harvey, Ambrose, the talk. We had a couple talks in this episode. Nick and Sabrina had the talk. Ambrose and Father Blackwood had the talk. And we're going to get into Miss Wardwell, Principal Wardwell, or should I call her the Empress? Empress Wardwell. We have the dark design over there with Elena. And let's get real, witches, where Brendan breaks down what's really Wiccan or not, some news and gossip, and much, much more. So stay tuned and watch us as we get down. And I'm not by myself. I am your host. My name's Teron, but I have a wonderful panel of people who are here. The puns of pun, the queen of puns, the pun and only Elena Jordan is in the building.
Hey, I like pun and only.
You like that?
Check
that's
that
a thing.
Out.
The punniest person I know.
I like it. I'll take it.
The punny. Okay, oh, I went God. Too far. Went too far. Went
punished.
Too far. That's, okay, and she's back. That goes on the pun drawer. And of course, we have the Wiccan of Wiccans. Brendan Haley is here to enlighten us in every single way. Enlighten us in the ways of the dark side.
Oh, well, Luke Skywalker is coming back. Probably the Emperor, too. Oh, wait, that's the wrong.
Wrong tarot card reading.
I just want lightning from my fingers.
I understand. But you know who has lightning in their fingers?
Who?
Me.
Veronica Valencia, that's who. Everyone knows she's lightning in a bottle.
There we go.
What, that was
it's,
the
it's
worst.
Like,
that
was
can
it,
contain her.
It's like baby lightning.
Benjamin Franklin would have never invented that lightning.
Baby lightning just sounds like
that's
the
her
most
superhero
awesome
name.
Superhero
baby
name.
Lightning.
Yeah.
Baby lightning.
It's like, guys, we got to bring baby lightning.
That's
like
what
she's
it is.
Got lightning, but it's just a little.
I
bit.
Feel like you'd underestimate her, but then like in the end, she'd blow.
Yeah.
Shit.
And then before we get comments from the panel, I know Benjamin Franklin did not invent lightning, but I do want to say we enjoy each and every one of you that comments below. You are as much a part of this panel as we are. Let's get into overall thoughts. Throwing it over there to Elena. Elena, overall thoughts on this episode for Dr. Cerberus's House of Horrors.
I absolutely loved this episode. This is probably one of my favorite ones, just because I love the structure of it. I love all the throwbacks. When we get to the dark design, this is the most that we've ever had to talk about in the production design aspect of it, because
she's not lying. I saw her.
Oh my
notes.
Gosh, it's
like
insane. There's so much. Like we could do a whole show just on that. The details in this episode, just phenomenal. I loved it. I love throwing in the kind of classic Thurston magician type thing. I don't know. I loved all of it. I loved it.
Yeah.
Brendan?
Well, I really like this episode for a lot of the reasons that you're going to talk about later, like the nerdier horror community stuff. But also, we get a little bit of development from Dr. Cerberus, who's not even in the Chaos comic books. He's just a creation by the writer of the comic books, but he comes from a play about a vampire night show host. So we get to see a little bit more of his story. We get a little bit of that romance between him and Hilda, and I'm always for a tarot reading.
Well, tarot readings are the most fun.
Or the most frightening, as for any of our characters this episode. Yeah, this episode was fun. I think that's the best way I can describe it. I think it was just very fun, as you were saying, Elena, with all of the throwbacks to the horror and everything like that. In terms of the overall series, there's obviously I'm not so sure like whatever tied into whatever. Although I think like stuff that happens with Ambrose was pretty interesting, and that could lead to further storylines in the future. Overall, it was just fun to kind of take a break from the craziness that's going on and just kind of see these crazy readings.
And did you guys notice the similarities? Like, they pulled directly for a couple of characters. Like, Theo's storyline connects to Pinocchio and Essence's there.
Yeah.
Ambrose's storyline and his tarot reading connects to the Amityville horror.
Yep.
And, you know, him murdering his family. Spoiler alert! What was the other one? Oh, Harvey connects to Suspiria, the original Suspiria, with the visions and the academy. And I was like, my little nerd brain in the corner was like, oh my God.
It's so good. I am a fan of this episode. It wasn't my favorite, but I enjoy the show so much that it played along. I'm not a very big fan of dream sequence shows because so much happens that nothing actually happened, but they did it the best way I've ever seen it done. They did it in a way that was creative. It was compelling. It kept my attention. Were these tarot readings? Were they fortune tellings? Were they premonitions? Were they warnings? I was along for the ride. Who is Miss McGarvey? And of course, we get the big reveal at the end where Miss McGarvey is Miss Wardwell, is Principal Wardwell, is the Empress.
Is Scarlett Wardwell. Johansson.
Well, that's... No. Actually, all the black characters were played by Scarlett Johansson.
That's right.
That's true, because we also had a situation with angels being in the play, and that's actually one of the critiques that I had for the show, is that they're usually so good when it comes to the diversity of all the characters, but this is the first time that I noticed that there weren't as many diverse characters except for the main characters that play. So we get Prudence, Roz, and we get Ambrose, but other than that, I don't see a lot of people of color walking amongst either the witches, and in this case, the angels, and that actually played something. Personally, I felt some type of way about it. There could have been much more. And usually this show is one of those where I defend it and its stance on diversity in so many ways. But in this particular instance, it did not come out. What did come out, however, was the fact that we did get these tarot card readings. And the tarot card readings were what essential force and topic in the show. However, every single person seemed to have a horrible tarot card reading.
Well, the thing I really noticed about all of them was they all had an overwhelming sense of trust to them. Like, can you trust this person? Who in your circle and your immediate context can you trust right now? Which pits all of them against one another in a way. Like Sabrina against Nick to some extent. Roz against Sabrina and a few other people. So I think it's very much driving their own insecurities and their own emptiness right now.
Well, it's interesting that you picked up on the concept of it driving people away. I thought it kind of brought Nick and Sabrina together. And that seemed to be, when I found out that it was, at the end, Principal Wardwell, it made me think that that's part of a plan. Now, I'm not sure, but why else would she say he should be there to hold your hand? Is it, and Sabrina brings up the concept of the, I'm going more towards the darkness because I feel like someone's there with me who I kind of trust. And then Ms. McGarvey's like, well, let him hold your hand or something.
But what I didn't understand is, yeah, because she was like, the path of darkness won't be that bad as long as he's by your side.
Exactly.
Make sure that you trust him and not the sisters. But what I didn't get was, at this point, she's supposed to be pushing Sabrina towards the path of light. So that was the only thing about this episode that, well, I was like, okay.
There are moments where, like, depending on how the writers and the story need it to, they just sort of...
I was going to say.
Didn't Ms. Wardwell lose her bet? Isn't she now back on the Dark Lord bandwagon?
But
like, she's doing her job.
She's doing her job, but she's been very back and forth with the Dark Lord, as we have seen. And it's like, yeah, this one was kind of confusing because it's like, it could be interpreted either way. Was she doing something to kind of, like, screw over the Dark Lord in a sense? Or is she still going along with the plan to help Sabrina? It could be interpreted either way, how you look at it,
because
I guess.
If she had Harvey there, because Harvey was the only one that just popped up, too, and was just like, you're doing readings? And I was like, what are you doing in the store, Harvey? Like, were you just, like, chilling in the back? Like, hey, what's up? I'm also here.
Yeah, Harvey was funny. It was cute.
I heard Hilda was making cookies. What up? What are you
doing? I was sad she didn't get a reading. I wanted to see Hilda have a reading.
And that also confused me a little. Not confused me, but it was like a point of contention where I thought about, well, why didn't she get a reading?
Mm-hmm. Because it's like Hilda doesn't really have any sort of, like, she can't really figure out a way to manipulate Hilda right now. Like, her manipulation to Hilda was just letting her set up the tarot cards.
So
she's like, my manipulation's already there. You know, she's like, now I'm just getting a read on all of Sabrina's friends and family so that I can try to figure out how to use them in this plot. She basically figured out Hilda's in is that she has this bookstore that they all go to.
That's so funny. I felt like, okay, so I have this theory in my mind that Hilda is one of the most powerful witches, right? And I noticed Miss Wardwell, Principal Wardwell, always dismisses her quickly. She tries to get rid of Hilda quickly, and this is one of those cases. And I'm thinking it's because she would know something more or something of that nature.
Hilda, I agree with you. Hilda always knows what's up, and she is always the one that surprises me, because when someone is doing something bad, she calls them out first.
I love Hilda. Yeah. Me too. I love Hilda for that. And she is far more aware than everyone gives her credit for. But I also wonder if it would just be redundant, because Hilda, at this point in the story, doesn't have much to feel guilty about, if that makes sense, like some kind of guilt or some secret that she's hiding. Her biggest obstacle in the past seasons and probably up until now is probably still Zelda. So it's like, would it be okay, or like, would it be boring to just retell that same kind of story?
I don't know. I think Hilda has some secrets. We just don't know them yet. We'll figure it out.
Probably just ran out of time on the episode, too. She's like, next time I'll do, like, you'll be first. And it's like, next season, we'll probably have this character back, because people were receptive
to
this
episode.
We'll
see it play out. Yeah, the tarot cards themselves, Brendan, can you enlighten us a little bit about tarot?
Well, there's a lot of theories or belief that tarot is, in origin, a form of Wicca or witchcraft or whatever form of it you want to call it. But it actually is more prevalent as a party game or a sort of a form of divination in a lot of cultures. And it's been more recently adopted by these themes of occult worship or more that area of practice. And what was interesting to me is that, and it shouldn't be surprising because this is how tarot is usually depicted in popular culture, but the cards never mean one thing. They never exactly mean what you see on the surface level. And I think we talked about this before, like the tower, for example. It usually, in my experience, means some bad shit.
It
about to go
means
down.
Bad things. It's one of the worst cards to get.
Yeah, the then, only
the
time
the Ten
I've,
of Swords, death, yeah, they just add up. Yeah,
yeah. And like the last time I got, the only time I had the tower, I went through a breakup like a week later. But it's all about the interpretation, and each of the characters really are sort of just set in one particular path with each of their visions, whereas the cards, it works off of your own energy. So whatever you put into the cards, whatever you're asking, you probably already know the answer to it, but you just need clarity.
You do.
It's kind of like a form of therapy almost, like when you're talking to whoever is giving you the reading, because then, and with all the, like, they have the different kind of setups with, like, the 3 or the 5 card. This one was just kind of like a random Yeah, some people got three. For the scene.
Yeah,
some people got two. Some we had to work for the third card. We had to wait.
And you know what? Okay, now, and this is jumping ahead a little bit, but also, Ambrose, I love you. Dick move stealing somebody's card. Like, you just messed up that whole deck. Like, I was like, you took it. You took the card.
Also,
you can
it's
never
her
use
energy,
that again.
So...
I know. I was like, leave the card, bro. Like, you don't need to take
it. What do you mean it's her energy?
Well, the cards typically bond to you, and they're actually more powerful if you give them as a gift to someone. Like, my cards I was given by my mom for my 18th birthday.
So if you're gifted.
Yeah, if you're gifted, they tend to be more powerful and you can charge them better. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. By taking that card, that deck is out of commission.
It's null and void. Here's my question. Can anyone do tarot?
Yeah. You can learn. It's sort of like the Golden Compass in a way, only anyone can learn. Anyone can, through books and online sources, you can learn how to interpret it. It's never going to be... It's never going to come easily, though. It takes
I'm
going
to need an old gypsy woman. It's kind of like how I need my barber to be black and have, like, a kid in his hand while he's selling drugs and cutting my hair. I just can't get on board. If someone's not an old gypsy woman whose booth popped up out of nowhere...
You need them to, like, crawl out from under a bridge and be like, hello!
I need at least two warts. Like,
Cosmo
I won't get on
this
with
month
it.
Actually has, like, an easy tarot guide that was this month that... I meant to pull out and bring, but...
I'm upset by that. That's actually, to me, somehow that's racist. Let's talk about Miss McGarvey. Was Miss McGarvey the person you thought who should be reading the tarot? To me, the look was on, the act was on, it was casted so well.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty spot on. And I had the reveal at the end where it's like, Stolish, you've never been fooled by glamour. And I'm like, yeah, use the bird for something.
I'm just going to say, this show uses glamour spells like Antony uses avocados on Queer Eye.
Yeah.
Like, it is insane how often we see them used.
I would never trust anybody in this world. I'd be like, who are you? And I'd have just a list of secret questions and passwords for everyone.
Yeah.
A lot of glamour. Yeah.
And I feel like at this point I should know better. Oh, that's not who it is. And I still get fooled. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Every single time. I do want to say a quick note on the Stolas thing. When Stolas got fooled, I thought something is up with Stolas. So I don't know because if Stolas never gets fooled by glamour, and this is actually a new Stolas, what does that mean?
I'm with you there because she... killed Stolas, so why should we trust Stolas?
Exactly, I don't trust Stolas.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, well, Stolas was also brought back by the Dark Lord, and who knows if it, like you were saying, is it the same Stolas? Like, could it be, like, manipulated?
Simply
or,
because the lines, I've noticed in Sabrina, there are no lines that are pointless.
That are throwaway.
Every line has a purpose, even if we don't know that purpose yet. So, let's talk about the actual readings. Everyone gets a reading. Let's start with Sabrina, because the show did. So, Sabrina's reading. Yeah.
Okay, this I did love, though, and I'll get more into it when we get into our special segment at the end, so make sure you stay tuned to the end here. But just the throwback to the classic magicians that we've seen the posters in the background for, that this whole act of, like, Nick Scratch's whole great magician, classic magician, and the tales and everything, I really, really liked that they were kind of doing this illusion as kind of a nod to these classic magicians. So while the actual story, like, leading into this episode, we knew that it was going to be some sort of exaggeration, and I'm glad that Sabrina was like, that's not actually going to happen. Like, I'm not going to float into space and freeze to death.
Spoiler alert for season two. Sabrina takes space.
Sabrina in space.
Yeah.
I thought that it was set up really well, and I thought that it was a nice little execution. And if it's supposed to be like, look, stay away from the weird sisters, my goal is to make you go towards Nick, I think she definitely accomplished that goal.
Well, since we're on the topic, what are your guys' thoughts on the culture of open relationships and the topic of cheating in this episode?
Wow, I love the weird sisters.
Me too.
Oh, that wasn't your question?
No.
I'm so sorry. That's all I heard. That's
Taryn's
all I
just
know.
Like, I want to date all of the weird sisters. They dated Nick.
Yes.
We know this
them.
Is a thing.
Mm-hmm. I love them.
Yeah.
It's an interesting topic piece. I can see both sides of the coin.
Because there really are no rules, it seems, except for Sabrina's opinion in this case, which is a weird but also interesting perspective to take, especially with cheating, because we sort of see that in her vision, and it's not really ever talked about except for when she's like, Nick, what are you doing? This is not nice.
Well, they have that whole sit down where she's like, Nick, are you my boyfriend? And then she flat out, like, because of this vision, is like, okay, if you're my boyfriend, stay away from the weird sisters. It's not that I think that you're going to cheat on me with them. It's that I don't trust them and that we're having this conversation. That
Nick
we're
does.
Going to
he
be
pulls
exclusive.
That. He pulls that F-boy. You don't trust me? She's like, I trust you. I don't trust them. Mm-hmm. Strong.
I mean, which, fair. Legit.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Mm-hmm. I don't trust me with them.
That makes a lot of sense.
But the concept of the open relationship, this is the conflict, right? So even in the witching world, we see open relationships are okay, and yet people still get married and are expected to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. Hence why a lot of things with Constance, Father Blackwood wasn't allowed to be free in his sexual desires.
Yeah, we get to Zelda's vision, he says that he is able to. So is that him lying to her?
I don't know, because let's be honest, they were cheating.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
And they knew it. Like, if it was okay, then it would have been something that was a little more outspoken.
It seems like those are the rules that they're establishing in this episode specifically, too, is that he's saying, like, I mean, skipping ahead to Zelda, but that if he's the groom on that day, according to their doctrine for their coven, he can make out with whoever he wants to.
On that day, but not through a relationship.
I was just going to say, yeah, that was very interesting to me because, again, because it's a dream sequence, it's kind of like, are these rules that are being established going to stick around, or is this just to make sense in the moment? Because, again, skipping ahead to Zelda, we see that the person he is, you know, canoodling with is not right.
Yeah.
So it's like, is that just meant to be more guilt on Zelda, or is that actually something that's right? He can do whatever he wants on his wedding
day. Well, if it's him and that's how it is outside of the vision, then he's even more sketchy right now, borderline abusing his power. Yeah. So
with Sabrina's tarot reading, do we trust or distrust Nick after what we saw?
I think I still really want to trust Nick. And I think, again, it's just a line of communication. And Nick has said he has never been with someone who's human or is at least half human. So this is a big change for him going from a world where, you know, sexuality and open relationships are very common and very open in that sense to have to kind of go to something more exclusive. That's just something he's never really experienced. So I want to still trust him just because this is a change for him as much as it is a change for Sabrina.
I like that a lot. Yeah. I do trust Nick still. And on top of them having really good chemistry and this bonding that we've seen develop over the last few episodes, he genuinely cares about her world and the world of the mortals and wants to learn more, which we learned about in Lupercalia. So I feel like him adopting more of a stance with her point of view, I don't see any reason that he would be untrustworthy.
My problem is this. First of all, how come witches and mortals don't mix? They mix all the time, so how come this is such a surprising relationship or such a surprise when it comes to Sabrina? And why is Sabrina, is she the first half-witch, half-mortal? Because all these things would be very interesting or shocking to me to understand or find out.
Yeah, the mythology is a little confusing at points like this.
She might also be the first half-breed of her coven. So yeah. It's different for them, but maybe not other covens.
Yeah. Or just, like, time periods. Like, there's probably been other half-witches, half-mortals, but it's a difficult scenario or whatever, so.
I mean, people just seem so shocked by it. So it's an interesting, it's interesting to watch it happen. And then, of course, when it comes to the magic part, Elena, you were talking about how it's cool that there was a magician. I thought it was really cool that the witches would watch a magician knowing that this is fake magic, because it would be so interesting to them to see sleight of hand.
Mm-hmm. It was
so
comical.
It's from a different spectrum than when we would watch. We would watch it because we want to be fooled into thinking it's real magic. They're watching because they want to be fooled into watching fake magic that has no actual spells. Very, very cool to me. Let's go to Theo. I like how every single magical being automatically, without hesitation, sees Theo as a boy. Mm-hmm. There is no conversation. We saw it with Roz's grandmother. and now we saw it was Miss McGarvey. You look like a handsome young boy, or whatever she says in that regards, where it just assumes Theo's a boy. There's no conversation about that. What did you guys think about Theo's reading?
Well, I think it's a very progressive, that particular point, I think it's a very progressive brand of storytelling. It's something we don't usually see that often. And I think that Theo's reading sort of goes further into that, but also deals more about the theme of want, because he wants to physically be a boy so badly. So what lengths are you going to go to get that?
I think it's also interesting that Theo, as far as we see, is the only mortal who really accepts witchcraft. And I like that. I like that he accepts it, and I like that, I mean, it's almost kind of sketchy that he'll probably, like you were saying, Brennan, do anything he can to achieve what he wants. But I like the fact that he's okay with that.
And I liked in this, even in his vision, his dad was on board and was like, yeah, I'll chop your arm off, son, if that's really what you want, like, just so you can feel better about yourself. Like, such a weird, like, kind of jump, but I don't know, I liked it.
And you were speaking earlier about the Pinocchio connection. What's the connection?
Well, it's a reversed Pinocchio, as we see, because Theo's a real boy, but once he steals magic and does something bad, essentially, stealing, the spell goes in a direction he doesn't want it to go, and he starts becoming a wooden boy.
And they even have the whole, like, the Pinocchio reference in the locker room. They actually have a poster of Pinocchio, which is like, why would that be in the boys' locker room, like on somebody's locker? But it's the whole idea of, like, being a real boy. And so it's playing on that kind of the mentality of it and kind of the metaphor of it. I'll wait until we get into the special segment.
So what's the warning?
The warning is basically like, look, dude, don't lean on magic. Be careful with this. Like, this can mess with you. That seems to be what her whole thing is. She's like, you know, don't go, don't lie, don't keep things to yourself. Like, you know.
Well, that just goes into the traditional horror rules, essentially, is like the more bad you do, the worse the consequences. Like, the slut character in a slasher film, probably gonna die first because sex is always the worst thing you can do, or one of the worst things you can do, I guess.
Yeah, kill sluts. So yeah.
Well, her whole thing too was this, when she was like, my advice is don't steal. And I'm like, okay, so whatever Theo was doing too. I mean, we also know last time the outstanding spells was because of Theo, and the Dark Lord has already been whispering in Theo's ear. So she probably knows if somebody's gonna throw a kink in her plans, it's Theo going around and messing with all these magical things and stirring something up that's gonna cause some issue that she's gonna have to deal with.
Well, that makes it sound like Principal Wardwell is doing this in, you know, against the Dark Lord. If the Dark Lord can use Theo to do his bidding to try and help Sabrina, then, and Principal Wardwell's kind of putting him in the other direction, it sounds like she's trying to get him off the trail.
That's what it seems like. But she also says, like, seek help early from others. So maybe she's trying to get Sabrina to use her magic more and be like, hey, hopefully Theo will then go ask Sabrina, I didn't think about this, but would you mind using your spell?
Mm-hmm. My only concern is the concept of Theo's great-grandmother that keeps appearing to her. Where is she being conjured from? What kind of magic is that?
I'm still expecting, and this has been since the season premiered, I'm expecting there to be a twist at some point where Dorothea is like the Dark Lord manipulating Theo, because we've sort of been built that idea up with the Nod and Billy last episode.
Exactly.
So from Dorothea to Dark Theo?
That's what I was...
Look at that wordplay.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking of something in that nature, but we'll see. I don't know. Rosalind. Roz, sight beyond sight, has no sight, and of course the tarot is about her eyes.
That was terrifying.
Yeah,
that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh! See what you did there. Beer, beer, beer. Veronica, what was so terrifying about it?
Just the whole end sequence where Roz finds out where her eyes came from. And I think, again, this kind of makes Roz is already terrified at the fact that she's blind and it's not her fault, it's because she was cursed. And I think that she's afraid of, you know, how she could possibly get her vision back, because she fears it's never going to come from a genuine, trustful place. It's always going to be something sketchy going on behind the scenes. And I think this just showed us that.
It also further emphasizes, and she brings it up herself, her struggle in holding fast to her faith, because mm-hmm. her dad is using the church to funnel money to get her new eyes, which, yeah, it's a nice sentiment, but at the same time, he's using all of these people to get, as she references, a new car or a down payment on the house. Yeah, so it's putting a further divide between her and her faith. It's causing her to be insecure about her own eyesight, and mm-hmm. it's causing her to be guilty, to feel guilty over herself and her needs.
Did you guys notice who Audrey was?
No.
You didn't? It was Emilio Baronic, who played Midge in Riverdale. So
no
that's
way!
Yeah.
We have a little bit of a crossover.
Now she's blind Midge. She's Audrey.
Nothing ever good happens to that girl.
No.
I know.
It's sad.
So cool.
Yeah.
There's another Riverdale one a little later on. We'll see if you guys
a little more Riverdale goes on in the
so
show.
This is the crossover we're
it.
Getting.
This is the closest to a crossover.
It's starting for now. I'm
the
sure.
Dream sequence.
Season 3 looks crossovery.
Our fates are not fixed.
I felt it also had a implication that the church or people of the church are not as good as they seem, simply because it hinted at the corruption of her pastor father. And we see the church of God or the false God.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are indications of how not trustworthy it is at times.
I think we're going to see a lot more of that introduced for the rest of the season. I think we're going to see mm-hmm. how both the satanic and the heavenly are corrupted in their own different ways, and Sabrina's sort of that middle ground,
yeah.
basing us all in what is good and what's not.
So with Sabrina, we got the magician, three swords, and the tower. Those were the three cards presented. With Theo, we got the knight of swords, wheel of fortune, and then no third card. We didn't get to see it. Don't steal and seek help early from others that help you with the prize you covet. Sure. Good hunting. Those are the words. Rosalind, justice is the card, the blind justice. Mm-hmm. And the tarot is just a mirror. Calm yourself. Now we get to Zelda. Zelda, the high priestess, the hermit. Wow. And the secret that she should or should not keep to herself. Should Zelda tell Father Blackwood about the baby girl?
Mom.
Letitia? No.
No.
He'll kill her.
He'll kill her. But I also don't think that she can be fearful for that very reason, Elena, that he would come after her. But I don't think in terms of guilty she has anything to feel guilty about, because she knew the fate of that baby. She didn't want that to happen. And it's not like she wants to be with Father Blackwood out of love. So it's like, why does she feel guilty keeping the secret? I don't know. I was like, just, you're fine.
It's a power play, I think. You know, that's like a last resort. If she needs to manipulate him, she can pull it out if she wants to.
The only thing that bothered me was after this, you know, false prophecy or whatever, it's like, maybe you should call up Desmelda anyway. Like, maybe just a little drop in.
Check on the
check
baby.
In.
Yeah.
She's like, she was just like,
well, yeah.
Oh, okay. Like,
the
Ambrose
baby
runs off and is like, oh, let me figure out how this ties into what's actually going on. I'm freaking out. I'm stealing cards. Zelda's just like, all right, Hilda, get on those cakes. I guess the baby's fine, probably in the woods.
Yeah,
because
Desmelda
check.
Totally doesn't want to get rid of that buggy eye and those few warts. Like,
well,
she,
that was the storyline.
Totally.
If you're listening on the podcast, the concept is that Desmelda ate the baby to reclaim her youth.
Mm-hmm.
And then made out with Father Blackwood.
Yeah.
Scandalous.
Which was gross. A little weird, because it's like, you're a part his daughter at this
and
point.
And then called him Daddy Blackwood. That's when I was like, bleh.
That's actually when
nope.
I,
No, I'm
oh,
done with you.
Work.
Whatever it's going to be, I'm
Daddy
done. No, I'm done.
I also like the term filthy trick was thrown out there way too many times. And some secrets should remain secret. Wow.
Yeah.
Let's get to Harvey, the fool, the hangman, and the ace of pentacles. Should Harvey go to Rhode Island?
No.
It seems like that's a no. hard no. But did you see who Howard was?
Who was
Howard?
Howard was Nikolai Wichtel, who was Dr. Kirtle the autopsy guy on Riverdale.
Boom.
Which,
oh my gosh.
How crazy is this? That means after Howard hangs himself, if he gets sent over the river for his autopsy, he performs his own autopsy as Dr. Curdle.
Mind blown.
Or he brought the Gargoyle King over here. Who knows?
So we're saying crazy. No on Rhode Island. And the concept, you will suffer for your art, but you need not leave home to do so. Is that a warning or a betrayal?
I think it's a warning.
It's weird to me, too, where she's like, I mean, let's keep Harvey around. Why do you care if Harvey's here in Rhode Island? Like, what does Harvey have to do with your plan?
Harvey throws a wrench in.
I was going to say, yeah, Harvey would throw a wrench in. Sabrina probably would still find herself in between
But
Nick
I would think out of sight, out of mind.
You know, she's still dealing with that duality of being half human, half witch. And I think by leaving Harvey in the picture, it's still going to cause some conflict for her because, you know, Harvey's going to be there. And she's always going to figure out, like, oh, which way should I go?
Yeah.
Him leaving kind of just takes it out of the picture. She's like, oh, he's safe. He's in Rhode Island doing whatever. I don't have to worry about him.
That's true.
I mean, we'll see. You will dig deep, Harvey, to unearth your true calling here in Greendale. Harvey is to stay in Greendale. Ambrose. This one was actually one of the more chilling ones. Ambrose gets 3 cards, and we had to work for the last one. The Hierophant, the Devil, and the last card we find out, as we suspected, is Death.
Death.
Here, Ambrose, should he join the Judas Society?
No.
I don't know if he has a choice. I feel like if you go up against Father Blackwood, especially if you're his... maybe favorite, it's not going to bode well for you. I think he has a lot riding on this potential offer of, does he join and potentially betray his family, or does he not join and risk his own life?
I just think if the vision you just saw is of your boyfriend dying because he's in this society and you get asked to be in this society... I don't think you should join, but like you're saying, Brennan, it's like, how do you say no to Father Blackwood?
And it's like, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. You know, you're going to be more privy to his plans and what's going on if you're under his wing.
Yeah. Well, Father Blackwood definitely can see that Ambrose is probably the one most susceptible to being manipulated.
Yeah. But the fact that now he has that warning, he knows, okay, maybe I shouldn't trust Father Blackwood and I should have my defenses up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because especially Ambrose starts out with Lucas. He's gone. She says he's gone. She says it in a very definitive way. He's away on important business. He's very well connected. And then she says, but you're not. A little stabby stab at the bottom.
But you know who is well connected, guys? AfterBuzz TV. And that's why I want to say right now to you wonderful people watching us on YouTube or any system where you can view our beautiful faces, thank you so much for your support. If you could hit that big subscribe button if you haven't already, maybe give us a comment and we'll shout you out on the live stream one of these times, maybe next week, maybe a week from now. And if you are listening on iTunes, please, please, please give us a 5-star rating because your support and your viewership helps make us the ESPN of TV Talk and helps us conjure some spooky television shows like Sabrina.
Yeah, make sure to give us that 5-star rating. I feel like we deserve 5 stars just like this show, Sabrina. Little tidbits. I liked when it stopped raining and then it stops raining literally after she says it stopped raining. And I'm never going to stay away from the Weird Sisters.
That's legit. We know.
Real quick talks that they had, Nick and Sabrina. We're shipping them, all of us.
100%.
Yeah.
And I feel like when Sabrina brings up, are you my boyfriend? That was the definitive speak. So we're saying they're a thing now, correct?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Ambrose and Father Blackwood. And then guess what? He kind of gets initiated into the Judas Society. And we find out that Lucas is gone for real. Lucas is dead.
Dun, dun, yes, dun.
Yeah. We have to find out so much more. And then Miss Wardwell, who was Principal Wardwell, or as we see, the Empress, as she pulls that card at the end.
What do you guys think that
could
mean?
The want to be empress.
She, that is her heart's desire, is to be sitting on that throne next to the Dark Lord. So
next to or in place of.
Maybe dun,
in
place dun, of. Dun.
She is definitely paving her own path.
Well, let's pave some paths with the dark design. Elena, give us some secret insight.
Dude, there was so much this episode. It was insane. Okay, so first of all, there's a big poster in the back that says Ionia, which has like kind of a Greek statue. We were kind of talking about the Roman philosophy last week. This one is focusing kind of a bit more on the Greek philosophy. And what I thought was most interesting is one of the most famous artists and philosophers of the Ionian school was Theodorus, aka Theo. Shout out. This show is so...
What?
Oh, it's so awesome.
Everything is planned out.
But they also had a big Carter the Great poster in the back, who was Charles Joseph Carter, who was like in about 1907 to 1917, was like the magician of the day. He also ran the famous Martinka Magic Palace, which then later was sold to Houdini, who gets a little shout out later on too. But he was the one who did the saw in half thing. So then they have Nick kind of recreate that one. And then they also have a big poster of Keller, who was Harry Keller, who was the predecessor of Houdini, and the successor of Robert Heller and Isaiah Hughes, who did the levitation, which he called the Princess Karnak, which they show Sabrina levitating at the end. So all of these tricks are literal calls out. And right by the psychics table, there's a huge poster that says the Monster of Fate.
Ooh,
which, and a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde poster next to C, which I liked because he kind of switches out between his demon self. And the really cool one that I loved was Theo. The book that he picked up was Metamorphosis, which one, you think of the metamorphosis spelled with an I, like the butterfly transformation, which makes sense for Theo's trans journey.
Right.
But this was actually a book written in 8 AD, which was a Latin narrative by the Roman Ovid that was considered like his big whatever. Like, it inspired Geoffrey Chaucer, Dante Alighieri, Shakespeare. All of these people were inspired by it. Romeo and Juliet was directly influenced by this book, which we saw last week. A Midsummer Night's Dream and much of Prospero's speech in The Tempest is almost word for word from this book. So,
definitely.
Yeah, crazy. So it's like all of these crazy shout-outs. Finally with Theo, when he actually pulls the card that has the magic spell on it, it's the Tiresian Magic's gendered spell of metamorphosis. Tiresias was in Greek mythology the blind prophet of Apollo and Thebes that was famous for clairvoyance, who, like Roz, was blind but could see visions. Is this not crazy?
Gosh.
It all ties in. Was transformed into a woman for 7 years, so had his own trans journey, and then trans
back. I'm more impressed that you were able to notice each and every one of these and research.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was so engrossed in what was going on. I was like, how does Elena find all these?
There's so many. They even had a Carmi poster, who was another famous magician, too. It was a vaudeville magician. And Rosalind's, they had that in the background. So they just had tons and tons.
The production, the design is amazing. Thank you for the dark design each and every week. And thank you all for being a part of this panel each and every week. We will have so much more. Sabrina, we're going to get into part 2, episode 5, next journey. So make sure to check us out and find us if you want to be found. Elena, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan.
And you can summon me, Brendan Haley, at Brendan Haley on Instagram, Brendo Hales on Twitter. I'm also here at AfterBuzz TV doing Supernatural and Queer Eye, both of which are ending this coming week and next week, so be sure to tune in, guys.
You can find me, Veronica Valencia, on Twitter and Instagram, at it's me, Veronica _V.
Well, I am Taron. You can hail me.
Oh!
Get out!
The Dark Lord. I am Taron. At every single Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, social media you can find and say the incantation, Taron, Taron, Taron. Until next week, same Chilling Adventures of Sabrina time, same Chilling Adventures of Sabrina channel. We will talk so much more next week. See you.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.